Would you like to take an envelope, and this will be the decider as to which part you play. It's like the Logies, isn't it? See the Logies? I'm using the Australian thing. Okay, would you like to take one? And if you open the flap of your envelope, it will tell you. Okay, this will encourage you to bring more children along to worship, won't it? We need to pray more children here, don't we? Are you ready? Okay, this is going to require acting, okay? You're never going to come again, are you? Okay, you ready to act? You've got your roles? Jesus, no, none of you are Jesus. I knew. Jesus is friends with a lot of bad people. That's not right, the grumblers kept on saying. But God loves and cares about everyone, not just good people. And Jesus told them this story. Once upon a time, there was a father who had two sons. Would you like to step forward, father? And would you like to step forward, two sons? They helped their father on the farm with lots of hard work. But one day, the younger one said to his dad, "Give me my share of your money now. I want to go and have some fun." And that made his father really, really sad. Really sad, even more sad. But he gave them the money. He gave him the money, rather. Okay, so then the boy left home and went far, 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 far away. But the fun didn't last, and nor did the money. His money was soon spent. He spent it left and right. He traveled all around. Spending it here, spending it there. And so the boy had nothing left. The boy had nothing. Nothing left at all. So he had to get a job. He found the only job he could find, and it was a job feeding the pigs. And the pigs really stank. But the boy was so hungry, he could have eaten the pig food. And actually, he did. And the pig made a lot of noise. And do you think he was happy? No. He was pretty miserable. His so-called friends had left him once the money had gone, and he now only had pigs around him for friends. They went out shopping together. This is silly, he thought at last. Why don't I go home? No one is hungry there. I'll tell my dad I'm sorry. I've wasted all the money. I don't deserve to be one of the family, but perhaps he'll let me work for him. So, he said goodbye to the pig. And he set off home. And he travelled a long, long way. All this time, his father had waited and watched for his boy to come home. And the boy was still travelling home. And there in the distance, his father stepped out, and there he saw his son. He was coming down the road. He was running. And the father picked him up, as in, but more in a dirty dancing style. He ran out to meet him. "I'm so sorry, Dad. I'm so sorry," the boy said. "I don't deserve to be part of the family." But his father just hugged him. His father just hugged him and kissed him. fetch the boy some clothes," he shouted to the servants. "Dress him up, we're going to have a party. My boy has come home and I'm so, so happy. Dress him up in the finery of navy blue." "My boy has come home and I'm so happy. I thought I'd lost him, but now he is found." And he looks, yeah, good. "Whatever is going on?" the older boy asked. When he came in from working on the farm, the servant told him, "Your brother has come home and your father is giving him a party." "A party? After all the trouble he's caused, Dad's never given me a party. It's not fair." And he stamped his foot. He wasn't a bit pleased. He went off in a huff and he was very grumpy. But his father went to him and said, "You know I love you. I always will love you." And he kissed him. "One day everything I have will be yours. Please don't sulk. Today's a day to be glad. Your brother has come home and I'm so happy. I thought I had lost him and now he is found." Doesn't that call for a big cheer? Yay. Thank you very much for participating so willingly. Thank you. That really was from the Bible, so it wasn't from a pink book. Luke chapter 15.
So we turn to this very familiar story, the story of the prodigal son. You've heard it, you've read it, you've heard it preached on hundreds of times. You've got something roasting in the oven right now that you're thinking about, and we're running short of time this morning. We've packed a lot in this morning, though, and isn't God good that we can just celebrate His life in so many aspects of our church? We do need to, just look a little bit into some of the aspects of this story. As the picture's going to appear on the screen just here. Ta-da! Who knows the painting? May I recognise the painting? Come on, you're all art aficionados in Australia. Yeah, it's Rembrandt. Someone said Rembrandt. It's The Return of the Prodigal. It hangs in the Hermitage Museum in St. Petersburg. And this is perhaps one of the most famous images of the return of the prodigal. And if you look, I was going to invite you just to gaze at the picture. We'll leave it up at the end of the meeting, perhaps. Writer Henri Nouwen, who was a Dutch theologian and priest, he spent hours and days just gazing at this painting. And he wrote a book called The Return of the Prodigal, based on what his reflections of this in this painting. And very briefly, you can see the young man who's returned and the state that he's in. He's lost a shoe, his hair's all wrecked, his clothes are ruined. Look carefully at the father. It's said that Rembrandt painted one male hand and one female hand. And there are aspects of the maternal in this as well. But also take a look at the other figure, the older brother. Standing on the side, disapproving. Well, that's the end of the story. And that's how our image of the end of the story. What perhaps we don't spend much time on is what the beginning of the story might have looked like. And I think it might have started something like this. Phil?
Only 30 seconds to go before I'm 13! 29, 28, 27, boing! Can I have some more ice cream, Mum?
Kevin, you've eaten all the ice cream in the house, remember?
Oh, yeah! Duh! I'm thick, Mr. Bean. Hello! Hello! 15, 14, 13, up against Super Mario Kart! Bum, 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 bum! I'm trying to go to bed tonight, do I?
Yes, in 5 minutes. Remember, you've still got school tomorrow.
Oh, yeah! Duh, brain! Yeah! I'm 13!
Happy birthday, Kevin!
Happy birthday to me! Happy birthday, Dick! Go!
Kevin?
Are you all right?
I am good!
Darling, He's losing the power of rational thought.
And the use of his arms.
He's become a teenager.
Kevin!
What?
It's your birthday, Kevin.
Oh, I know!
Happy birthday, Kevin.
Okay, stop going on about it, will you? What's an the ice cream?
Oh, come on, Kevin. You've eaten 5 tubs on your own this evening, remember?
So unfair, I hate you.
Kevin, don't speak to your mum and I like that.
Oh, I didn't say anything.
No, no, Kevin, that is for the morning.
Oh, I can't do anything anymore.
Oh, well, seeing as you've started, at least it'll cheer him up.
Super Mario Kart.
I hate Super Mario. It's sad. I want a hi-fi.
Right, that's it. Off to bed.
I am not going to bed. I'm going out.
Oh, don't be so stupid, Kevin. You can't go out now.
Why not?
Because it's 12 o'clock. It's way past your bedtime. It's pouring with rain outside. It's dangerous for a child on his own. You've got nowhere to go, and you've got school tomorrow.
That is so unfair, I hate you! All right then, I will go to bed, okay? Happy?
Good night, Kevin.
Don't shout at me!
Don't worry, darling. It's only a phase. It only lasts for 4 or 5 years.
No one's recognising that from their own families, of course. It would never happen here. You were never like that. You still aren't like that, right? Yeah. But you can imagine that scene, can't you? The father goes out at the end of the story and says to the older brother, "Would you just come in and join the party? Your brother's come home," and the older brother's saying, "I know, will you just stop going on about it?" And the seeds of that in that story that begins sown with that kind of teenage petulance that says, "I want to do my own thing. It's so unfair that I can't." Jesus tells this story as a part. Luke records 3 parables for us in Luke 15: as a parable of the lost sheep, parable of the lost coin, and then parable of the lost son. I want to suggest there's 2 lost sons in this story. It's just that one happens to go away. And if you look at the way that this is recorded for us, if you look back at the beginning of that, Jesus says for us, Jesus continued. Chapter 15, verse 11. Jesus continued. So I always want to know, continued from what? Continued from what, I hear you ask. We're getting there. Go back to the beginning of chapter 15, and it came up in the dramatized version of this story as well. There were people who were looking at Jesus, and they were saying, "He eats with tax collectors and sinners. He's hanging out with the wrong people. This can't be right. He's including all sorts of people that don't belong." And so then Jesus tells these stories. The lost sheep that ends with a party. The story of a lost coin that ends with a party, and the story of the lost sons that ends with a party that one son refuses to go into. So you know this story backwards. There's not much you can add to a story like this, and if you preach much, actually the familiar stories are harder to work with than the unfamiliar ones. The unfamiliar ones, you don't know whether I'm right or not, but this one you do. Jesus is telling a story to a first century Palestinian audience. We don't always get the drama or the cultural things that are going on in when Jesus tells his stories. And the way it's just told for us is very understated. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided up his property. That's it. "Father, give me my share," and he divided up his estate. We miss the shock value. To a Palestinian audience, this is one of the most appalling things a son can do can say to his father. He basically says to his father, I wish you were dead. That's what's going on here. It's not just I want the money. Basically, I wish you were dead. Because he's going to carry on as he would have done had his father died, only without taking the time to pay any kind of respect. I wish you were dead. The relationship between son and father is completely severed in this moment. There is no going back here. It's not just a story about a son who goes off on a holiday and spends all the money. It's a story that begins with the son saying to the father, I want nothing to do with you. I wish you were dead. I wish you were out of my life. And so he's cut out of his life. See, this is a resurrection story. At the end of a story, when the father says, oh, I've got my son back. He was alive. He was dead and he's alive again. He really is being received back as if he were dead. It's a resurrection story too. And when we look at these parables, the challenge that comes to me and I want to share with you is we have to ask, whose story is it? Is Jesus telling a story? And it gives us a sense of the tremendous generosity and extravagant grace of God's kingdom. And we can all say, yeah, God's like that. Yeah, that's what God is like, welcoming everybody. He's got little special me in his hands, we sang. But actually, that's fine. That you can hear that and go home and be completely unaffected by that. Or we can find ourselves in the story. Because I think we can. If we pay attention, we can find ourselves in this story. You might be, and I make no judgments at all, but you might be in a place today of that rebellion where you're just struggling to do life the Jesus way and you want to do your own thing, and that point of rebellion that will bring you, if you're not careful, to the place where you will sever the relationship with the Father. You know that's possible. We don't have a once saved, always saved doctrine in the Salvation Army. There are people who believe that. We respect them, but we respectfully differ. We believe that salvation is about continued obedient faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. You have to stay in the relationship. You have to put yourself in the relationship. God is reaching out to you and to me, but we have to stay in that relationship. And it can sometimes be hard for us to want to do that. This son chooses to sever the relationship with the Father. That might be you today. The shock value, the end of the relationship. And the problem when we get to that stage is we can find ourselves in a place where we think, well, God is so loving, God is awesome, we can say all the things we've affirmed this morning, but sometimes we can convince ourselves, yeah, he's loving to everyone else, but he can't possibly love me. He can't possibly want anything to do with me after what I've done. We can put ourselves in the place of the son who sits in the pigsty and says, I know that I am not worthy to be a son. My sonship actually is over. And it was in this culture. It wasn't just he would say, I'm not worthy to be a son. I would become one of my father's hired men. There was no going back in his understanding. Sonship was over. Daughtership is over. Maybe that's where you are in the story. Maybe thinking that there is no way back for you. Maybe. If that's you, just stay with it. He prepares his speech. Father, I am no longer worthy to be your son. Make me as one of your hired men. And if you look in the text, he doesn't get to finish his speech. Because the father sees him from a long way off. While he was still a long way off, the father saw him and ran to him. And again, we don't even think much about that in our language, our translations. But for a man of substance in Jesus' day, an older man, a man of property, a man of standing, to run would be a matter of disgrace. It would not happen. Running is for children and for messengers. This father gathers up his robes and runs to meet the son. Runs to meet the son. He sees him from afar off. I don't know where you are today on your faith journey, but I know this from God's word. He sees you when you are far away. He sees you when you were far away, and he runs to meet you. He runs to meet me. There was a son. Next picture, please, guys. The son who left home and returned. But there's also the son who stayed at home and was also lost. You read in his story, there's no sense of love between older son and father. You get a sense of a son who stayed at home out of duty. You maybe get a sense of a son who also wished his father was dead, but he was just waiting around, waiting for that to happen. The ones who stay behind sometimes struggle with the ones who come back. You know, it's possible to do the church thing. We can dress up the way we should. We can come, we can smile, we can kiss each other, rub noses, and do all that stuff that we do to greet each other. And we can say and do the right things. And we can go home and be unchanged. We can. We can all play at church. Church is actually not very difficult. Living a Jesus lifestyle, that's a different matter. Taking Jesus' life seriously because he takes your life seriously. The message of the older son is one that we need to take seriously. It is possible to stay at the father's house and not have the relationship with the father. You get what I'm saying? It is possible to be in the father's house, to go through the motions, to do what you do out of duty and obligation and habit, and still not have the relationship with the father. We need to pay as much attention to those who are lost who are in the father's house as those who are lost outside it sometimes. We call that discipling. We're going to be taking that seriously. The lost son who stayed at home, resentful, embittered, and struggling to understand why the father would be merciful. You know, in our church life, there's so many different expressions that go on here, so many different things that happen, and people finding faith all around our churches. You know that. So I didn't hear the debrief of the Hope Weekend yesterday. Lindley came, but someone came to faith over that weekend. Someone came to faith the other weekend. Yeah, come on, let's be thankful. There are people coming into the kingdom. We need to be welcoming and embracing. And we need to recognize that even though we don't quite understand how it happens, God is doing a thing amongst us. God is doing his work amongst us. Our job is sometimes just to run and keep up. He is working here amongst us. And he has as much to say to the sons and daughters who stay home as he does to those who are away, because he wants us all to be in the party. These three parables, they're party parables. The shepherd has a party when he finds his sheep. The lady who lost her coin has a party when she finds her coin. And this father has a party when his son comes home. And this father leaves the party. He doesn't just watch out for the younger son to come home. He notices that the older brother's not in the party. And he goes out and he goes to find him. Come home. Come to the party. We're celebrating what's happened. The father, last picture please, guys. You see, the father wanted both sons at the party. You know there is a party in heaven every time someone gives their heart to Jesus, don't you? The Bible tells us that there was a party in heaven last weekend when someone gave their life to Jesus on the Hope Weekend. I want to be at those parties. Don't you? We want to be having those parties here. There's a few seats we could fill with people finding faith in Jesus. You may be thinking that a father who would leave the party and go in search of you wouldn't happen. Charles Wesley wrote this. He, that's Jesus, left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love and bled for Adam's helpless race. 'Tis mercy all, immense and free, for, oh my God, it found out me. The father risked disgrace to run to his lost son. The eternal son suffered disgrace because he left his father's house to look for you. And when you were afar off, he ran towards you with outstretched arms of love and said, come to the party. We are all in this story somewhere. We may recognize where we have been in it in the past and where we are now. I want to say to this, with all the love and concern I can have for you, let us not be the older brothers who stayed in the Father's house and didn't have a living, vibrant relationship with the Father. And if that's where we find ourselves today, then here's the place we put that right. There is room in the Father's house for lots more people. And if we are in relationship with the Father ourselves, then we'll be welcoming and we'll be embracing. And we won't be the petulant older brothers who stand outside refusing to celebrate. We will just want to be joining in and we'll be part of every celebration that's going on. And I believe in these next few years, we're going to see party after party after party of celebrations of new people finding faith in Jesus, because that's who we are called to be. And all that we do, whether it be giving out welfare on a Monday and a Tuesday or welcoming people to home league, prime timers, music practices, whatever it might be, all of that stuff is only ever about that people might find faith in Jesus. And I am utterly unashamed of that fact. If it doesn't proclaim Jesus here, it doesn't happen. It is about proclaiming life in the kingdom. It is about proclaiming an alternative life to people. It's about saying that life doesn't have to be this way. An eternal quality, an eternal dimension of life can be yours today, this side of eternity. That's who Jesus has called us to be. That's who Jesus has raised us up to be. And that is who we shall be in Newcastle under his grace. There is room in the Father's house. And if you're in the Father's house and not in love with the Father, he's leaving the party to come and find you. So don't miss him. Don't miss him. Lord bless you.